Good to see you this morning. The man at the laundromat, his name was Oop. God is good, praise the Lord. Now, the enemy's been working hard this morning to try and defeat what we're trying to do here, but he's not going to win because he's already been defeated. I want to talk to you this morning about speaking only words of faith. Not saying anything else other than what God's Word says. See, what I want, write this down, because this is something you need to know and hear and understand and have it. The Word of God was spoken in order that it could be written, and it was written in order that it could be spoken. Now think about that for a moment. The Word of God was spoken in order that it could be written, and it was written in order that it could be spoken. Look at Psalm 19, verse 14 for a moment with me. Number of references we want to just look at today. Psalm 19 and verse 14, and this is what it says. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are the words of your mouth and the meditations or the things that you think about acceptable to God? We have to say what God says. We can't live by words that are just, well, this is happening and that's happening, and did you see this and did you see that? There's an interesting chapter that I'm going to refer to in just a moment in Ecclesiastes. But I want to read something to you this morning from Charles Capps. I'm sure most of you got this little book. We've distributed, I'm sure, 100 or 150 copies of it to people who've come here. But this is a wonderful little book, especially if you need healing. And Charles Capps, he calls these his building blocks. And just listen to these. You'll have to note these because they're not on the screen. He says, here are a few of the many scriptural reasons why I believe this so strongly. I'm just going to read these. Job 22:28, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon all thy ways. So what are you saying? Oh, I'm not too well today. I've got the flu today. You shall decree a thing and it'll be established unto you. Proverbs 18:7, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 18:20-21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. James 3:6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs 12:6, the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 13:3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. That's interesting. Proverbs 14:3, the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of the spirit. Proverbs 15:4 in the Amplified Bible says, a gentle tongue with its healing power is a tree of life, but willful contrariness, it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Those are all some of the ones that Charles Capps gives in this little book. And if you don't have the book, you ought to get one and meditate in it, think about it, read it through. But in Ecclesiastes, now I wonder if you know where Ecclesiastes is, or is it one of those books that you never look at? If you find Psalms and go to the right, you'll find Proverbs. And then when you get into Proverbs, keep going to the right and you'll come to Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, now chapter 10 is an interesting chapter to read because there's a lot in it about what you say. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to you, but Ecclesiastes 10, 12 to 14. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of the mouth is his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what it is and what it shall be after him. Who can tell him? Now, if you read through the chapter, you'll find that our friend Solomon is giving a number of illustrations there, and they're all very interesting if you begin to look at them. Let me just read one more verse, and it's at the end of the chapter. It's verse 20, and this is what it says. Curse not the king, no, not in thought, and curse not the rich in your bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry thy voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Interesting little verse, isn't it? I wonder if you've ever heard someone say, a little bird told me that. That's where it comes from. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 20. That's where that comes from. And we need to be careful what we say. What you say in your bedchamber or in your bedroom at night, you think, well, nobody hears you. Somewhere along the line, somebody's going to hear it. See, your words are carriers. Your words carry your faith. They carry faith, they carry unbelief, they carry doubt, they carry fear, they carry all those things. So whatever's in your heart is going to start coming out your mouth. And we need to be very, very careful what we say. Now, let me take you to another one. Hebrews chapter 3. This one should come up on the screen for you. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, I've taught you this previously. The word used there is homologeo or homologio. It depends what Bible school you went to. But what it means is Jesus is a high priest of your homologeo or homologio. And homologio means saying what the Bible says. So Jesus is the high priest of what you say, provided you're saying what God says. So if you're not saying what the word says, you negate his ministry as your high priest. He's not going to confirm the negative things that you say. He's not going to confirm the sicknesses and the curses and all of those. See, words won't work without faith. Faith won't work without words. See, the difficulty is so many times people are speaking doubt and fear and unbelief and all of these things instead of saying what God says. And so we need to be saying what God says, because what God says is the truth. And Jesus said, when you know the truth's going to set you free. You have to come to a place, folks. Every one of us, we have to come to that place. Look at John 6 and 63. These are the words of Jesus. In John 6 and 63, Jesus made this wonderful statement. He said, It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that you and I speak, they're either going to be spirit of life or they're going to be the spirit of death. That's why we need to speak the words of Jesus, speak the words of the Bible. We need to say what he says. I don't know if you understand this or not. Some people go to the gymnasium, you know, and they build up their muscles and they say, well, I've got biceps, strong part of the body. Oh, my legs are so strong, you know, I run or I cycle or whatever. But you know, that's not true. The strongest part of your body is the bit that's in your mouth. Your tongue can move mountains. Your tongue is the greatest thing that you have. And it's interesting when you start to look at it. We've already read the scripture in Job 22, 28, but we'll put it up again for you, Job 22 and 28. It says, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established. So what are you decreeing? What is it you're saying when you get out of bed in the morning? Elizabeth used to say this, and I can't remember where it came from, but she says, don't make any old people noises. Where did you get that? Don't make old people noises. Oh, you know, oh, getting up in the morning is terrible. See, we're early birds. I'm awake most mornings by 5:30, and by 7 o'clock, Elizabeth's up and about. I can't understand people who lie in bed to 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. That's outside of my comprehension. I don't understand that, but that's an individual thing. All right, let's look at Mark. Not this Mark. Mark 11. Mark 11 and 23. You know the verse. We've used it so often, but it says this. Jesus' words again. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I don't know if you've ever really considered this, but in that little verse of Scripture, it only says to pray once, but it says three times to say. So you need to be saying what you want three times as much as you're praying about what you want. Well, let's pray about that. Well, why don't you just start saying out of your mouth what the Bible says? See, you give voice to what you believe in your heart. And whatever you believe in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth and it's going to establish things around about you. Now look at this scripture, Jeremiah 15, verse 16. This is why you need to be speaking what God says. Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. You have to find this word and rejoice in it. You have to value this word. It has to be what you love. You need to come to that place where you love the words of God. We need to speak them out of our mouth. They need to be part of our daily vocabulary every day, not just occasionally, not just when you're having a problem, but every day you need to be speaking God's word out of your mouth. Psalm 119, and it's verse 103. Psalm 119, verse 103. He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. When God created Adam in the garden, what did he do? He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When you find this word and you start to get it in your mouth, listen to me, it is God giving you mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. When you start getting that word in and it becomes part of you, you're breathing it, and it's just like the Lord was there and he's just put his mouth over your mouth and breathed in. It's the Word of God. It's like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Because what you say locates you spiritually. Your words, they'll either release you or they'll tie you up. Oh, I don't understand how I got into this situation. Everything is the result of your speaking. It's important that you take note of what you say. Yesterday morning, we were having breakfast, and I complained about something. And I got reminded very sharply, be careful what you say. Elizabeth did eggs yesterday morning, and the egg wasn't to my liking. So, praise the Lord. All right, go on. Let's look at Acts 16. Acts 16:25 and 26. When you start to look through the Word of God, there's so many wonderful things that we can learn from Him. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands or... Now, Paul and Silas had been put in prison because they were preaching the Word of God, because they were saying the things that Jesus said. But you know, it was a work of the devil to try and keep them there. But he really should have put some duct tape, something, over their mouth to keep them from praising, to keep them from saying, to keep the words from coming out of their mouth. He missed it because their words opened the prison doors. Their words caused a response from heaven, and God sent an earthquake and released all the prisoners. All the chains fell off. I'm trying to get to you this morning how important your words are. I mean, they really are important. They're much more important than some of you think. Let me take you to another one. Revelation 12:11. It says, they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now listen to me. There's not a big group of people here this morning because of the weather. But some of you have missed out because you kept silent. Some of you have missed out on financial provision. Some of you have missed out on health. Some of you have missed out on things that God had for you because you never spoke it out of your mouth. Some of you have had to put up with sickness and disease and things like that because you never overcome him by the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. See, what is the word of your testimony? It's who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. You are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have to come to the place, folks, where we start to understand these words are what you're going to win the battle with. The words that you speak. Think about in Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. David, remember David when he was just a little teenager? You remember the story. Interesting story if you read through it, the story of David and Goliath. The father, David's father, sent him down to the battlefield with cheese and bread for his brothers. And when he came to the battle, King Saul, who's the Bible says was head and shoulders above every other man in the army, he was big, big man. The king and all of the brave soldiers are hiding in the caves because there's a giant who comes out. The giant's name is Goliath. Some, depends what translation you read, some say he's 8 foot, 9 foot. I read one that said he was 12 foot. He was big. By anybody's standards, he was a big fellow. So David comes along and he says, what's happening? His brothers tell him off, said, oh, we know the naughtiness of your heart. What about those few sheep? You should be minding the sheep. And the outcome of the story is this, that when you read through 1 Samuel 17, it's interesting. Just let me digress from what I was going to say, but it says this, verse 22. This isn't on the screen, but verse 22, 1 Samuel 17, 22. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And he talked with them, and behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words. These are the same words he's been saying every day, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw this man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. Now listen to this, verse 25. And when the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up here, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the man that stood by him, verse 26, and said, tell me that again. What shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach? And he says, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's defying the armies of the living God. And so the people answered him and said again. So if you read through your story, you'll find three times David says, what am I going to get when I kill him? He's going to marry the princess. He's going to be enriched with great riches. And never have to pay any more taxes again. That's what it says. All right, now let's go on. You know the story. He goes out and defies Goliath. But in verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield. And I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The name of the Lord of hosts. The name of Jesus is greater than the giant of cancer. The name of Jesus is greater than the giant of diabetes. The name of Jesus is greater than any name you want to name. David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will smite you. I'll take your head from you, and I'll give the carcasses of the Philistines to the fowls of the air. And so what's he doing? He's prophesying the end result. He's saying what's going to happen. See, you need, when you're attacked with sickness, you need to start saying, sickness, I got news for you. Greater is he that's in me. You were dealt with 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Jesus took you on his own body, so I don't have to have you. You have to come to that place where you're bold enough and stand and not let the enemy fool you. He'll try to put sickness on you. He tried to put pains on me this morning while I was sitting there. I felt like somebody stuck two knives into my back. You know, you get a stab and a pain. And I thought, no, devil, you're not going to do that. Some of you may have wondered, why did I put my head down? I was quoting the scripture saying, thank you, Father, you raise up the backs that are bowed down. And I quoted the fact that Jesus took it for me so I don't have to have it. Do you understand? You win the battle by your words. Go to Matthew 4, in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, and again in Luke chapter 4, but in Matthew chapter 4, the passage there deals with the fact that, let me just quickly read some of it to you. Matthew chapter 4. Let me just read a couple of verses. Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, you may be thinking, well, why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil? So it would be recorded so you would know what to do. Matthew 4. Okay, let me read the next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you be the Son of God, see, prove who you are. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Verse 5. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him on the pinnacle of the temple. Now, can you visualize and see what's happening? This is the devil taking Jesus, setting him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it's written. So here's the devil now starting to quote the word. He knows a little bit of it, but he doesn't know enough of it. It says, if you dash your foot against a stone, the angels will bear you up, and so on. And again, Jesus said, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What he's saying is, you're not going to get me to tempt God. That's what he's saying. Verse 8, And again, the devil takes him into a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says unto him, All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. See, the devil's looking for the worship. Jesus said, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Three times the devil came to Jesus with offers. Three times Jesus defeated him by the words of his mouth. He quoted what the Bible says. You defeat the devil every time by saying what God says. This is why you have to say only words of faith. Say only what God says. Say who you are in Christ. Say who God says you are in Christ. Say what God says you have in Christ. Say what God says you can do in Christ. You'll defeat him every time. He can't hang around. Just a couple more scriptures and then we'll be through this morning because our time is getting away. Philemon 1:6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, what have I been saying to you this morning? I've been telling you that you overcome the devil, you overcome sickness, you overcome needs, you overcome whatever it is by saying what God says about you. You acknowledge the good things that are in you in Christ. You can do that. See, the reason why so many Christians, even though they may be sincere, even though they may go to church occasionally, they won't boldly say out of their mouth what God says about them, in case someone thinks they're telling lies or boasting. You have to say what God says. But if I say I'm healed when I'm sick, I'd be telling lies. No, you're not. You're telling the truth. It's your body that's lying. Your body's telling you you're sick, but the word of God, which is the truth, says by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed. So we start saying what God says. See, listen to me and get hold of this, please. This is so important for you. If your faith won't, listen to me. Hey, I'm up this way. If your faith won't move your mouth, it won't move your mountain. You have to say what God says. Your faith can move the mountains. Your faith can move anything, but you've got to say it. You've got to speak it out of your mouth. Two more scriptures and I'm done this morning. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, 34, 35, 36, and 37. Jesus speaking. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. Idle means non-productive. Every non-productive word that they speak, they're going to have to give an account for. Verse 37, For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Interesting verses. Interesting words from Jesus. We need to be so careful what we say. What are you putting into your heart? Whatever's going into your heart will eventually come out your mouth. If you spend many hours looking at films, whatever, all that kind of thing, there's not a film today, I guess, that's got much goodness in it. Most of them are just full of filth and rubbish and so forth. But if you're filling up on that, when the pressure comes on, whatever's gone in is going to start coming out. See, the devil wants to squeeze you to bring out the things that you've been putting in. God wants to love you, so you start bringing out the things that he has put in. Think about those words. Let me finish. I've just written this one down here. This is Psalm 34, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the Living Bible. Listen to this. I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. I will constantly speak of his glories and grace. I will boast of all of his kindness to me. Let all those who are discouraged take heart. Let us praise the Lord together and exalt his name. For I cried to him, and he answered me and freed me from all of my fears. So we need to be saying what God says. We need to be speaking words of faith only. Not words of sickness, not words of doubt, not words of worry, not words of whatever. We need to be speaking God's word. There's creative power in God's word. We need to speak the word, because the word's going to produce what you need. Can you take all this morning? Now I'm being very, very direct with you about it. But we need to come to that place, beloved, where we're saying what God says. And it is important. It's not just, oh, well, I've heard that before. Faith doesn't come by what you heard before. Faith comes by what you are hearing now.